This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You know what's better than receiving the perfect holiday gift? Enjoying it now and paying for it over time. Diamonds Direct makes holiday shopping easier than ever with a curated selection of the top gifts on your list and 0% APR for 3 years with equal payments. That's right, no interest for 3 years all December long at Diamonds Direct. Find out more and shop online at DiamondsDirect.com. Your love, our passion. Subject to credit approval. See website for details.
Welcome back to the channel and welcome back to another edition of Spurs Chat, where this evening we will be discussing Tottenham back in the Champions League. Yes, Champions League nights are back at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. A 2-0 victory this evening against Marseille and Richarlison at the double. Richarlison in tears at the end. I think we all know what it means to him. A very, very vital 3 points in the Champions League this evening for Tottenham Hotspur. I've got three very special guests to talk about this evening's game. First up, we've got international DJ Fenton G. Fenton, how are you?
Bonjour. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Lovely to have you back. And thank you. We've also got Richard Whitehead, MBE, back with us. Rich, how are you?
Yeah, always good to be on the show after a win. I know recently the performances haven't been that liberating, but it's still great to be a winner.
Absolutely. And we've also got channel regular Craig Dearman back with us. Craig, how are you?
Yeah, you're right, Chris. Yeah, not too bad. Good to get a win tonight. Didn't think it was going to happen for a little while, but we got over the line again, as we seem to do quite often. So we'll get into it, I'm sure.
Craig, let's start off with you because I feel exactly the same as you. We're unbeaten so far in competitive competition. In the Champions League now and the Premier League. I don't feel that we have got into second gear, but we keep getting these results. What did you make of tonight's game?
Yeah, it's kind of becoming a familiar pattern, and it's, you know, starting off slowly. Although I didn't think we was that bad right at the start, but it gradually got worse throughout the first half. Let's be honest about it. The sending off changed the game. I think I wouldn't say we were hanging on, but you know, it definitely changed the game. And thank God we got the points in the end. But there's two ways of looking at this. So I was thinking about it. You know, you could say somebody's going to find us out soon, and somebody's going to beat us if we carry on playing like that. Or you could look at it a bit more positively and say we're not playing well, but we're winning games. Yeah. And imagine what we could be like. Yeah. When we are playing
well. The same as you, Craig. I think we're going to turn over a team because you look at the kind of opportunities that we probably could have had if the decisions were made right, like Sonny. The times when he should have made the right decision and he took the wrong decision, I think we're going to roll over a team, really roll over a team soon.
Yeah, I hope so. But it's a tad worrying. I ain't gonna lie. You know, there is part of me that thinks we are going to get found out. And, you know, if we've got to put in a shift on Saturday because Haaland's going to rip us a new one if we don't. So, but we'll get into that later, I'm sure.
Craig, what did you think when you heard that Champions League music again? Because I tell you what, it was goosebumps for me. I tell you, these last couple of years, playing in the Europa League and, of course, last season, the Europa Conference League, it is good to be back, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly is. A bit emotional, really, I reckon, for all the players that, you know, like Harry Kane's in this world, that was desperate to get back there. It was just fantastic to hear that music again in the stadium. And to be honest, the way the crowd was, initially at kickoff and the first 5-10 minutes, you think this is really going to spur them on, but it kind of didn't. They looked like scared rabbits in their headlights. And as Richard said, it was the passing. It was almost like they were overwhelmed by the situation. It was like they'd never played together at points. But 100%, great to have the Champions League music back, and a couple of away games next in the Champions League, I think. So they're going to be. They're going to be tough, so we certainly got to play better than that in the next couple of games for sure.
Fenton, let's come to you. What did you make of tonight's game and hearing that Champions League music again?
It's great to be back. It feels like it's been more than 2 years.
It does.
It was lovely. I feel that we should be there, and the quality we have this season. You know, with Piricic, Kulusevski, I think they fit right into the whole Champions League mold, and that's where a lot of these players should be playing. And I think our new tactic is have a boring first half, score a goal if we can, and then play better in the second. Because it's not just the first game. I think it's every single game so far. We have nicked a couple of goals early on in the first couple of games. But, yeah, it's so boring. But maybe the players are thinking that they've got a lot of games to play. And some now we're on the whole Tuesday or Wednesday, then the Saturday or Sunday. And the next, I think it's the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're playing at 5:30 on a Saturday after a midweek game. And I think it feels like they can't give 100% for the 90 minutes. So they're only going to play a certain level. But then, like Craig said, if teams find this out, they're going to slaughter us in the first half and then park the bus. And then that's when we're going to be in trouble. Because that's when Tottenham usually are in trouble, when a team parks the bus.
Fenton, what do you say to the Tottenham fans that moan about our performances, but we're getting results?
I see, I'm one of these Tottenham fans that I'm not bothered of. I'd rather be in Champions League than win a League Cup. So I'm not really bothered about. It's winning. You know, if we're winning games and
we're winning games. You've got to be careful. Got to be careful about dissing trophies on this channel, Fenton. I can tell you.
I know. I'd love a trophy, but at the same time, you know what? Players, unfortunately, we're in an era now of players that they want to win, and they do want to win trophies. I'm not saying they don't, but what attracts, it's a business now. Football is a business. And everything's run like a business. So to attract Piricic, Conte and people like that, you need Champions League. I want to win something because I haven't seen Spurs win anything since 2008, like everyone else. But, you know, I wasn't that young then. But before that, I think it was like, was it 2000? No, I can't even remember.
99
against Leicester. I was at that game, funny enough. I don't care. The moment we're winning, we're keeping clean sheets. You know, you can't have... In life, you can't have everything. So let's just embrace the winning at the moment.
Rich, let's come to you. What did you make of it? Because I tell you what, when Spurs eventually do get out of second gear or first gear, go into second gear, some team is going to be absolutely battered, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. You can tell that Conte is trying to drill the players into this front foot way of playing, and also playing off the break. So he's got two or three kind of go-to ways of playing. And I think the first half today, it looked like they were walking at some point. It looked like they were lethargic. It looked sunny. I don't know what was going on with his decision-making, but his head was down a lot of the time. He needs to lift his head up and kind of make that right decision. I think Højbjerg looks a bit tired today. I know he's been playing well, but he looks a bit tired today. I just think the team in the first half just didn't look at the races. And Marseille came with a plan, and they obviously delivered that plan to the T. And we were hanging on, like Craig said, towards the end of that half. And Conte just needed to get them in at half time, give them a roast in. And obviously, you saw what happened. Obviously, Sonny then, instead of those like little flicks that went nowhere, Sonny was like turning with the ball, obviously, then running off the ball to try and make a little bit of space. And then obviously, that's where the sending off was.
Are you surprised, though, Rich, in the six games in the Premier League and this evening, in the seven games in total, that Spurs haven't really switched it on and played this, you know, this fluid type of football that we know that these players can play? Are you surprised after seven games you've not seen it?
Yeah, for sure. And I think we've only scored one early goal, haven't we, in the first half? So I think it's a process, though, isn't it? And some managers don't get the time to be able to implement that process. And Conte's philosophy is about being very solid at the back, very solid without the ball, into those kind of formations that are not going to let the players run off and into those gaps. But I just think it's too negative today. Too much sideways football. And I know that the fans, after making so much noise before the kickoff, were starting to get really disappointed after about 25, 30 minutes, when literally nothing was happening. No shots on target, no real penetration into the box. And it was really disappointing first half.
Craig, let's come to you. And let me just say to all of the listeners and viewers, I apologise if there is a bit of background noise, because I'm in my car recording this just a short walk away from the Tottenham Stadium, and it is absolutely pelting down right now. And this afternoon I was at Hotspur Way watching the under-19s play Marseille under-19s in the UEFA Youth League, and it was very similar weather there. The Spurs under-19s won 3-0 earlier today. Donnelly with a penalty and Jaden Williams with a brace. And also the other game in Group D in the Champions League this evening, the score was Frankfurt 0, Sporting Lisbon 3. Marcus Edwards actually got their first goal, of course, a former Tottenham Hotspur player, and also an assist in the game. Craig, let's come to you. Let's talk about the team lineup. Antonio Conte made one change from the Fulham game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium at the weekend. Perisic for Sessegnon. So the lineup was as follows: Lloris in goal, the back three of Romero, Dier, Lenglet, wing backs Perisic and Emerson, in midfield Højbjerg and Bentancur, and then the forward three of Richarlison, Kane and Son. The 12 subs this evening: Forster, Doherty, Skip, Sanchez, Brian Hill, Ryan Sessegnon, Kulusevski, Spence, Tanganga, Saar, Davis and Basuma. Were you surprised by that lineup, or was that what you expected?
To be honest, I'm almost got my thinking like I'm trying to think like Conte now, in that there's no real weak links in the lineup, whatever he puts out. And I'm certainly more happy with the squad. It's funny, I think the squad is stronger now than it was when we got to the Champions League final, but the first 11 isn't as strong, if that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know if that's possible, but that's how I feel. So I think whatever team he puts out at the moment, I'm quite comfortable with, if I'm honest, Chris. So, yep. Regardless of what he does, and that kind of bodes well for the future, doesn't it? So it doesn't matter to me whether Sessegnon or Perisic is in. It doesn't matter whether Emerson, actually, to be fair, I think I've been one of his harshest critics, along with a few others on this channel.
Yeah, me as well. Yeah.
To be honest, I thought he played really well again tonight. I mean, he's an athlete. You can say that about him. I thought
it's
out
his
of
delivery, though. It's just his delivery, Craig. It's like,
it's dreadful. Yeah, it's dreadful, mate. But then again, I wish I'd counted the amount of crap crosses we'd put in tonight from all the players, because they were terrible. That final, final ball, not just a cross, kind of penetrating pass was just bloody awful. It was frustrating. It made you could hear it in the stadium, the crowd. And what I tell you were going to come on to this, Chris, but I'm sorry, I've gone off topic a bit. But what the hell was Lloris doing with that punch in the first half? Why did he catch that? But I'll leave somebody else to answer that. But yeah, I was quite happy with the lineup, Chris. Getting back to your original question.
We will come on to that shortly. Fenton, same question to you. One change this evening from Antonio Conte. Were you surprised? Is that the team you expected?
Totally. I think, you know, like I've said, you know, Perisic, he's a Champions League winner. He knows how the the competitions being played. And I feel that he's a more experienced, stronger player. Like, I was so excited when Spurs signed him, because I remember watching him play with Croatia years ago, and I'm like, oh, he's a naughty player, him. And then we signed him. So I was really happy with that change. I think, like Craig said, I think what I like at the moment is the consistency. There's not all this changing. And I think for a team to play consistent and well together as a unit, we need consistency. And he's showing that consistency. Whatever he's doing, I believe he's doing right. And, you know, the game on Saturday, especially when I was there, you can see the positive changes. Maybe not tonight in the first half, and a bit in the second half. But I do think when we're ready, whenever that may be, it's going to be quite scary for the... And I do think he played it down tonight, Conte, because I think, you know, we've got a big game on Saturday, and, you know, I wouldn't leave Kulusevski out at the moment, but I think he's going to be an important player on Saturday.
Yeah. Rich, what about you? The starting 11, one change this evening. Were you surprised that Richarlison started?
Yeah, not really. I think obviously Conte is wanting to forge those partnerships up front, isn't he? And Kulusevski offers something slightly different, and you saw that as he came off the bench, driving in behind. I think Richarlison's somebody can hold the ball up and then bring people into the play, where Kulusevski's that player that can kind of beat a man on the wing, and kind of, which he did when he came on. I think Richarlison's a player that we'll see him evolve within the team, and obviously tonight it's going to give him great confidence in his ability, obviously especially in the air, but also he was a bit naive in the first half, trying to do too much, trying to get emotionally involved in the whole first Champions League game for him, or first European game. But after the second half, you could tell he really evolved into the game, and started to see the reason why we paid £60 million for him.
Yeah. Craig, let's come to you. Let's talk about the first half, because I normally write down a lot of the major game incidents. I've written down hardly anything for that first half. And I think that says it all. In the 26th minute, and that's where we'll start, the 26th minute, a cross shot from Emerson, Perisic picked it up, crossed, goalkeeper picked it up. 32nd minute, Hugo Lloris, ball in the air. This is the incident that you were on about. Ball in the air. It was a simple catch for the goalkeeper, and he punched it. The crowd were not happy. What on earth was he doing?
I can only assume that from everything you hear, those balls spin like mad in the air, and they've been told and trained to punch the ball no matter what. But the no matter what, surely that he was under no pressure, nobody around him. He could have quite easily caught that. You know, any top goalkeeper should be able to catch that ball. And for some reason, he decided to punch. I don't know whether he saw at the corner of his eye somebody running down the wing and thought he could punch it to them. I don't know. But that's the only thing I can think why he would have done that, because it was just unbelievable. And it actually nearly cost us, didn't it? Because it was. I don't think anybody else around him could believe that he's not caught it, to be honest with you. So, yeah. So yeah, that it was. It could have been worse than it was, I suppose. But yeah, no idea why Lloris. You'd have to ask him why he thought that was the right thing to do.
Well, I think we should come to Fenton on this. Seems he's wearing the goalkeeper shirt. Fenton, what did you make of it?
Well, I mean, the only thing I can say is the weather conditions. And maybe he was like, well, maybe he felt the ball prior to that and it was a bit slippery, and he couldn't. And I think that's the only reason behind it. But, you know, bless his heart, Hugo. I think... he's always going to... I think all goalkeepers have got a mistake in them. And as long as it doesn't cost us, you know, I think, yeah, I don't know what the pressure's like being him. But I think the wet conditions may have made him think to punch it.
Rich, let's come to you. In the 34th minute, Richarlison to Harry Kane. Harry Kane cut in, took a shot on his left foot. It was blocked. Højbjerg was free on the back post. What did you make of Harry Kane's performance this evening?
Yeah, passing. Obviously, he made a couple of diagonal passes, but as we know, Conte wants Harry between the posts, obviously getting the goals. I thought he was trying probably as hard as Sonny to get in front of the goal and try and score today. I think, and again, the free kicks. How many times have we talked about free kicks, Chris? Holy fuck,
I was looking forward to that conversation, actually.
No, we will get there in a minute.
Well, actually, let's do it now. 49th Hurricane free kick. No. Why on earth is he on that free kick, Rich?
No.
How many times have we spoken about this?
No. I just literally, that from now on should be no, Harry. Wherever it is, no. And whether it's Perisic or whether it's Sonny, let them take him. It's definitely not Harry Kane. How many free kicks has he scored?
I think he scored one. And that was a deflection.
Yeah, it was a deflection, wasn't it? Yeah. And awful. And it wasn't even close. So unless he's doing that in training every day, put him in the top bins, why is he taking the free kicks? Because they're just nowhere near. And every Tottenham fan saying this, exactly the same thing. It's like Sonny and Kane on that free kick, and I'm going, Sonny, just push him out of the way and just take it. No.
That's right. I don't understand it, because Sonny scored a couple, didn't he, in pre-season? Yeah, didn't he? He scored a couple for Korea. And, yeah, you know, it's funny. We're watching that game. We got that free kick. And my nine-year-old, actually, wasn't my kid then, because my son's 11. So he said to me, he said, this is going straight into the wall.
Oh, yeah.
This is going straight into the wall. And I said, well, I'm not even going to argue with you. You know, because we all know what's going to happen. Bang, straight in the wall. Weren't even close, was it? It was in the bloke's midriff. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Seriously,
how
though,
can somebody with that much skill not be able to take a free kick? I don't get it.
What? Why do you think he's still on them? Because like Richard said, if he's banging them in, you know, day in, day out in training, I could kind of understand, but... You know, the amount of time in the Premier League in particular, the amount of times that we've all spoken about it, game by game by game, he's still on the free kicks. Why?
Well, perhaps he is banging them in training. I mean, but then again, you know, a couple of the players have been asked about this in the past, but they haven't, like, defended him, have they, and said, oh, he puts them in the top corner every training session. So, I don't know, Chris. I can only assume that he's kind of pulled rank on everybody. I mean, Sonny perhaps a bit stronger. So, surely this comes down to the coaching staff, doesn't it? Or Conte even, turn around and say, Harry, I love you, but you can't take a free kick, mate. I don't care if you're on the pitch. Sonny's having this.
Guy has scored a couple of free kicks, you know?
Yeah, it's not a hard thing to do. You work out corners like that. You know your corner takers before the game kicks off. You should know your free kick takers. So, and I can't imagine Conte has overlooked that, considering... Gianni Vio is supposed to be this set piece specialist, you know, and obviously direct free kicks are going to be part of that, because it's where it's not just about kicking it towards goal. It's about where your own players set up, perhaps on the end of the wall, you know, blocking a goal. So this is something they'll be working on. So I can only assume that Kane is part of, you know, the small group players that are going to take direct free kicks. Because, I mean, to be honest, that side probably would have suited a left footer anyway. But I don't know. Mine boggles with that one. It's strange, but they've got
to
sort that out,
surely. Isn't it? It's definitely frustrating to watch.
If you three chose who you'd like to take the free kicks, who would it be? Would it be Son, Dyer, or someone else?
Son or Dyer or Perisic?
Perisic.
I don't know what Perisic is like, but I could imagine he's a good one.
He can
do it with both feet as well.
Yeah.
I'd say one of those two.
Rich, let's come to you. Let's go back 2 minutes from Harry Kane's free kick. Of course, the free kick materialised from Heung-min Son running through and then getting brought down and the player receiving a red card. What did you make of that incident?
Yeah, it was obviously 100% red card. I think Sonny obviously flew out of the traps. The defender couldn't stick with him. And professional foul, last man on goal. And I think if it was either on the other foot, you'd want the defender to stay with the attacking player and try and force him out to the byline as much as possible, but not dive in like the defender did. It was just, I think he was just frightened by Sonny's blistering pace. And obviously, Sonny's confidence is low at the moment. If he was one-on-one with the keeper, he wouldn't necessarily have scored 9 out of 10 like he did last season in that scenario. He might have missed anyway. So I think the defender...
Of course he wouldn't.
The defender committed at that stage, and I think obviously that incident completely changed around the game. And Conte was able to bring on obviously more attacking players to dominate the ball.
Rich, I want to talk a little bit about Heung-min Son because, you know, he hasn't scored in the six Premier League games or tonight. What have you made of his performances? Are you happy as a Spurs fan with his performances in these seven games?
And there's been weak tonight as well. I think tonight was a culmination of, I think, decision-making was poor. Even his body language, he just doesn't look like the kind of the player that we had last season where he's full of energy and kind of, I think maybe something to do with it is Richarlison, but I also think that the pressure starting to get to him, that the expectation is that he's going to be scoring 25-30 goals this season, and he's not able to live up to that. I think every Spurs fan needs to be kind of willing Sonny to score his first goal sooner than later, and I'm sure when that happens his confidence will build, as every striker will tell you. Scoring's the hardest part of the game, but also just getting that first goal is really important for the confidence moving forwards. And it might just shin it in, or it might just come off his back and it go in. And I think from there he'll rediscover his scoring prowess.
Rich, you being a professional athlete, when your mood is a little bit down about your own performances, how do you pick yourself back up? How will Sonny pick himself back up for the next game?
I think it's really important that you've got teammates and a coach that's able to understand how to motivate you and how to instill that confidence back in you. And whether that's in training or whether that's kind of that arm around the shoulder, having the time with the analysis guys around kind of looking at previous performances and showing where he's maybe making some mistakes. I just think he looks a little bit tense. He doesn't look as dynamic as he did last season, but it's easily changed. He just needs to be more relaxed on the field of play. Maybe having a little bit of time out the first 11 and letting Kulusevski play. But obviously, Son is devastating. I think the game against Man City might be the one where, like, he's done it before against the likes of Man City. So maybe that's a time where he can... Man City might have 80% of the ball, but we might nick that one, or we might win 1 or 2 nil. So I think maybe Man City game might be a really good one for Sonny.
Craig, let's stay on the subject of Heung-min Son. I thought he made a couple of interesting runs today. What have you made of his performances, and do you see it happening very soon for him?
Yeah, look, he's too good a player for this to carry on, you know. But, you know, I think I've said on here before, even Shearer went through stages where he didn't score for 5, 6, 7 games. It just happens. It's one of those things. And it is a funny thing being a striker and you don't score, because the harder you try, the harder it is. And like Rich said, if one goes in off his backside, that will be the catalyst for more. And I know, or I've seen a few City fans that have said online, Son Heung-min hasn't scored this season. Look who Spurs have got next in the league, because he just loves a goal against City. So, to be honest, I'm not too concerned. He doesn't help himself when he's in that kind of mindset, though, because there was a couple of times tonight he just ran down dead alleys. I thought he was Lucas Moura with a Son sort of face mask on at one point because he was just running into players. When if he'd actually got his head up and passed, I think one stage Emerson had made a good run, he would have been in. So he's just got to get back on his game and he's just got to keep plugging away in training. I'm sure the other players giving him plenty of pats on the back because we all know Sonny is going to be that type of player that needs the encouragement. He's not the type of player that needs shouting it, and he's just got to keep believing in himself, and it will happen. You know, he's a professional, world-class athlete and a world-class footballer. And for me, does he start Saturday? There's a massive argument. I'll personally go with Kulishevsky. You can't leave Kane out. And then so for me, it's between Richarlison and Son. Do you leave out a player that's just high on confidence and scored two goals? So, he's a very difficult one. Perhaps it might be better for Son to just, you know, stay on the bench and watch the game and then come into it and perhaps score a win a bit later on. That'd be nice. I'm sure that'd be good for everybody then. But it's such a difficult one, but it's a good problem to have for Conte, for sure.
Absolutely. We'll come on to the Manchester City preview at the end. Craig, let's stay with you. In the 61st minute, you know, something had to change, and Antonio Conte brought Emerson Royale off and brought Dejan Kulusevski on. What did you make of that switch?
I thought it was a bit weird that he was putting Kulusevski... that he was putting him at wing back, to be honest. But then again, we know he said he can play there and he has played there. And I thought it was odd because I thought Emerson was having one of his better games, or certainly one of the better players on the pitch anyway. But it worked. You have to say, as soon as Kulusevski come on, the game changed. He got us forward. He does get us up the pitch. He drives forward. He always says he just loves going forward. He said he's a forward-thinking player. We've all seen that. And it did change, didn't it? We were getting up the pitch, higher up the pitch, and you didn't need that more defensive right wing back because they were down to 10 by that stage. So you have to say the substitution worked. And he did have an instant impact on the game, didn't he? Had a brilliant game when he came on, I have to say. And that, for me, that's why you've probably got to start him against City at the weekend. So, yeah, well, he did well when he came on, without a doubt.
Yeah, we haven't even spoken about Richarlison yet. In the 62nd minute, Perisic crossed, Richarlison headed over the bar. A couple of minutes later, Kulusevski, a good run, took it past the defender, tried to shoot, blocked, went out for a corner. Fenton, what did you make of Kulusevski's performance this evening from the substitute bench?
I really like him. He's got a lot of energy and he runs at players. Going back to what you said to Richard about who's going to start, do you think, on the Saturday, Son or Kulusevski? I don't think Son's a kind of off-the-bench kind of player. Where
I agree.
Kulusevski, I'm not saying he is an off-the-bench player, but he can play if you start him, and then he can come on and change a game. And I think that's what Spurs in general have lacked over the past, God knows how many seasons, is players that can change games coming off the bench. I know, obviously, Lucas come on a few times and scores a few goals here and there, but he doesn't really change a game, where all of a sudden the energy when Kulusevski comes on and what he brings to that the game when he comes on, for me, is outstanding. I mean, he's a young player as well. I mean, it's lovely to have these sorts of problems at Spurs when you're like, well, there's so many to choose from. I don't know who to choose from. And the only person that sees the players day to day and knows what strengths that people can offer is Antonio. So,
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree.
It's lovely to have that from Spurs, which we've lacked for a long time.
I think maybe at City though, I think Kulusevski might actually play instead of Richarlison. I just think Richarlison's not as active when we haven't got the ball. I think Kulusevski's more he presses the ball more than Richarlison does. So he might revert back to that, obviously, in the starting 11 against City.
But also, as well, Richarlison coming off the bench are equally is a good one, because when he came off the bench the other week, I can't remember who it was against, we had this energy and he's a hungry player. I'll be honest with you, I didn't really understand that transfer. I didn't really pay much attention to him at Everton, although a couple of my pals are Everton fans. And although when we played Everton, I thought, oh, he's a bit of a naughty player, isn't he? He gives a little dig into someone. And then when he came to Spurs, didn't really get it. But
there's so many fans like that, Fenton. There's so many fans now, Spurs fans, putting their hands up saying, I got it wrong about Richarlison, because, you know, he can play on the left, he can play on the right, he can play through the middle. He's an impact player. And like you said, now when he come on at Chelsea away, you know, earlier on in the season, and Nottingham Forest as well, the impact he made in those games straight away from the bench.
Yeah, and it is lovely to see. And it's lovely, the energy that he brings. I mean, again, how old is he? I mean, he's still quite young, isn't he?
Young player, yeah, 24, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I agree with Rich. I think if I was Conte as well, I'd have Sonny to start, and then I've got I've had Richarlison to come on, because if anyone's going to nick a goal in the last 10, 15 minutes, it's more likely to be Richarlison than Sonny coming off the bench doing it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Rich, let's come to you. I don't know whether you felt it or saw it or even heard it, but the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, particularly the South Stand, was very angry with the Marseille goalkeeper for wasting so much time. And then all of their players started wasting time. It started becoming very tedious and boring inside the stadium with them wasting so much time. They made two subs in the 69th minute. The referee booked one of the players for time wasting. The referee told him to go off the far side. He chose to come off the longest route. 4 minutes later, Antonio Conte made a couple of subs. Lenglet and Romero off. Davis and Tanganga on. Were you surprised by those subs at that point when it was 0-0?
I think going back to obviously the time wasting, that's European football, Chris. I think
you
get to a stage in a game where the away team definitely says, well, actually, a point's better than none, and then we start to wind down the clock and also then start to disrupt the play. I think it was evident that from the back all the way through to their defensive midfielders, they were starting to time waste. Any kind of touches, either on or off the ball, they were going down. And it became evident with obviously watching the game that they were trying to waste 10 or 15 minutes of the game until obviously they went behind. Then all of a sudden, the play started to accelerate again. So, yeah, really disappointing. But that's obviously European football and we've got to accept that. But the substitutions, I think it's fresh legs. I think it obviously the fresh legs shows that the squad has improved since last season dramatically. And going back to what Fenton said about kind of Richarlison coming off the bench last season, it was Lascelles and Moura coming off and they just didn't really have the impact that we wanted. So this season we've got players that can come on, young players, young hungry players that want to get about the team. They came on. They participated in the game. They were pushing the ball forward. I think Conte, as soon as the substitutes came on, he was saying, right, no lateral balls at all the balls moving forwards, like push up and let's have more players in the midfield to create numbers going forwards. And obviously that helped with, especially throwing the ball into the box and obviously Richarlison getting on the head on the end of two of them.
Craig, let's come to you. In the 74th minute, Marseille had their best chance. Across from the left side, it went across the six-yard box, eventually cleared by the Spurs defence. That was probably their best chance of the game. Were you surprised by Marseille not really testing Hugo Lloris tonight? And by the way, I think it's going to be a very different game when we travel away to Marseille, because, of course, they will probably have Dimitri Payet and Alexis Sanchez in their team.
Yeah, it was. They were missing a couple of their better forward-thinking players, but you know, before the sending off, they were playing quite high up the pitch, weren't they? So they are a pressing team, You can say what you want about that first half, but we didn't really, you know, they didn't have many clear-cut opportunities. And that one you mentioned there was probably the best one, I would say. They said
it's not even a shot on target. They had one shot on target this evening. And I don't know whether you've seen the stats. Spurs had two shots on target, two goals. Yeah.
It's incredible. It's just one of them games, isn't it? I think it was that the one where they said on commentary Ben Davies missed it and Perisic cleared it. Was that the one you're talking about?
Yeah,
they said in the commentary that Ben Davies completely missed it. He didn't. He actually got a very, very slight touch, and that's what took it away from the striker. And they said Ben Davies completely missed it. He didn't. He did very well. He didn't do as well as I'm sure he wanted to. He was trying to just usher it out for a corner. But he did enough to take it away from the incoming striker. So, yeah, a bit of a heart in the mouth moment, that, to be honest with you, because that would have been very disappointing. But, yeah, I did expect them to trouble Lloris a bit more, to be honest with you. But, it's one of those games that you can talk about possession all you like, but we've seen many times, haven't we, possession doesn't win your football matches. It's not guaranteed to win your football matches. So, and, you know, we're going to be playing City Saturday, which we'll come on to. We're not going to have the lion's share of possession against them, are we? So we already know how that's going to go. So, Marseille, you're right. It's going to be a massively different game when we go to their place in December, I think it is, isn't it? So, let's hope we've qualified by then and we don't have to go to Marseille and get a result, because that would be a tough final game.
I'll tell you what, though, inside the stadium, their fans were very, very noisy, very vocal for the whole of the 90 minutes. But the game stats this evening, Tottenham with 50% of the possession to Marseille's 50. We had 18 shots to Marseille's 9. We had two shots on target, as I mentioned. They had one. We had five corners. They had three. Fouls, Tottenham 10, Marseille 9. Fenton, let's come to you. Let's talk about the breakthrough. Richarlison's first goal, his first goal on a Tottenham Hotspur shirt. We all thought he got his first goal. The weekend, he was given the yellow card. It was disallowed, unfortunately, but he got his first goal this evening, assisted by Ivan Perisic. What did you make of Richarlison's goal, the first one, in the 76th minute?
I think he took it superbly. You know, very well deserved. He works hard. I felt that when Marseille's game plan sort of came to an end on the sending off. And then it was a matter of time, and you could see Spurs were pressing a little bit. And I'm just so, so happy for Richarlison that he took it. And yeah, it was on target. And the most important thing I learned when I played football back in the day was hit the target. If you hit the target, anything can happen. And, you know, when he headed it, it was kind of just sort of was right in front of the goalkeeper. But the power behind it was superb. And yeah, it was great. I loved it. But I just want to go back to this time-wasting thing. What is this time-wasting thing? Everyone who comes to the lane, it's not the first time. Everyone does it, and it's so, so tedious.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share that with you. And Marseille were just... they were just going down for everything and, like, time wasting. I think their game plan was to nick a draw if they could, and then it went out the window after that sending off.
Rich, let's come to you. I want to know when you're going to get Richarlison on the back of your shirt.
Nike needs to send me another home shirt so I can get Richarlison on the back then.
Rich, what have you made of the signing of Richarlison? Because I tell you what, these past few games, I don't think I've ever known somebody to come in. You know, so many fans be unsure. I would probably say it's like 50-50 of fans going, oh, I'm not sure about him, to, you know, fans like myself that was very excited about Richarlison coming to our club. But the way that the fans have taken to him, you know, in these last few games, he is going to be a real fans' favourite, isn't he?
Yeah, for sure. And how he puts himself around the pitch is really important. And I think Conte was looking for that in his offensive player, somebody that's going to get stuck in, that's not afraid of having that conflict, somebody that's going to do the dirty work. But also, the ability to improve as well. And like I said before, the thing that kind of concerns me is when he hasn't got the ball or when we haven't got the ball, he's not as proficient off the ball. And I think that was the issue with Sonny when we first had Sonny, that away from the ball, he didn't seem to do a lot of the tracking back or wasn't pressing the ball very well. But that's something that obviously we look forward to. But I think Richarlison's going to be one of those dark horses where he kind of, he comes in and he like massively has an impact on certain games and not be one of those players where he bags a hat-trick and it's like, he just does it within like 5 or 10 minutes because that's what he does. He kind of gets about people. But I noticed that Karen had mentioned a couple of comments about the free kick specialist. And yeah. I thought that it was set piece specialist. And I think people like Richarlison are going to benefit from that specialism because the quality of balls from the likes of Perisic have made a big improvement. And that's probably the reason why he's starting over Ryan at the moment, because Ryan's delivery is not as bad as Emerson's, but it's not great. And if you've got Harry and Richarlison in the box, you want to have good delivery because those two are deadly in the air. I think Richarlison's been a great signing. He adds a different dimension to our play. And I'm sure he's going to get quite a few goals for us this season and in the future.
Craig, let's come to you. As Richard mentioned there, a fantastic assist from Ivan Perisic for Richarlison's first goal. For his second goal, was assisted by Pierre Mihojbjerg. What did you make of Richarlison this evening and the two finishes?
He did keep going, didn't he? He was a bundle of energy. Cracking.
Because let's face it, Richarlison wasn't really too much in the game up until that point.
No, but he was running around a lot. And I know we accused Lucas Moura of doing that a lot, but he was making the runs. If you actually watch him, he was making the runs. He was trying to make a nuisance of himself. And to be honest, half your job as a centre forward is being in the right place at the right time, and he did his job. So he, two fantastic headers. The second one was even better than the first. The first one was fantastic because he had to crane his neck. It was slightly behind it, had to crane his neck, generate all the power with his header. And you can see actually why we let Pau Torres go, because that he should have actually done better for that first one because it was right down the middle. But not taking nothing away from Richarlison, it was a great header. Second one, just very, very clever, very cute, with a little nudge in the back of the defender who wasn't going to get anywhere near the ball anyway, but just gave himself that bit of space and, almost backwards. Again, had to generate a bit of power, but did use a bit of the pace on the ball and headed it home off the post. So happy for him actually to get his goals after he thought he'd scored Saturday to have it chalked off by VAR. But really, really, really good performance in that second half from Richarlison. And he done his job, didn't he? He done his job.
We've just got a comment on from Jim. Thanks for this comment, Jim. Any thoughts on Thomas Tuchel's sacking? Yeah, I think ever since the handshake, it all went downhill. You guys want to put any more on that?
I did read something on somebody posted on Twitter and said that's what happens when you don't make eye contact with Antonio Conte, or when Conte don't make eye contact with you. I thought it was quite funny. I have to say, yeah, I mean, just commenting on it quickly, for me, it's typical Chelsea, isn't it? It's just bloody madness. The guy wins the Champions League, he wins the Super Cup and Christ knows what else. Yeah. Yeah. He had a rocky start of the season, but you know, they got that Bewley or whatever his name is. He paid over $4 billion for Chelsea. He's going to make his money back. I've got no bloody idea because they've got to build a new stadium as well. He spent the most ever in the transfer market Chelsea ever spent, or it might be anybody's ever spent. Was it over $270 million, something like that? And they sacked their manager after 6-7 games. I don't understand it. I don't particularly like Tuchel. I wouldn't say I disliked him as much as Arteta or anything else. I mean, I think it was a bit of a tip, but you know, I don't think he deserved to be sacked. But then again, I haven't really got an opinion. I couldn't give a toss, really. But it's just. But what does worry me a little bit, what I will say on here is, are they going to get Poch? And that would sting a little bit, I have to say. No. But I think they'll probably go for Zidane or Potter. Potter's a favourite.
Potter.
So good luck to him.
Harry Potter.
Talking of managers,
Antonio Conte said after the game, we were very effective in the game this evening. Now, in the 83rd minute, twice this evening, I got goosebumps. One with the Champions League music. It always does it to me. And I'm just so glad that Champions League football is back at our wonderful ground and our wonderful football club. But in the 83rd minute, the crowd was singing Antonio, Antonio. And that got me again because the fans just simply love our manager. Fenton, let's come to you. Let's give a bit of appreciation to our manager, because since November last year, you know, at the end of October, Nuno Espirito Santo sacked, Antonio Conte has walked in. He has transformed this football club, hasn't he?
A million percent. And you can actually see, I mean, what I really loved was all that pre-season stuff where the players were absolutely effed. And that was like, that for me was like, right, that's setting the bar for where we're going to go this season. Yeah, there's still a few little things that can be, you know, adjusted. But I love him. You know, you can see, I love the fact that he's so vocal. You can hear him. I'm like North Upper, and you can hear him over the fans on a match day. And I just think it is... He's so, I know he's Italian, he's passionate, but it feels like he really wants to change this club and have that winning mentality. And I do think he's definitely, if anyone can do it, it's going to be him. And the players' attitudes seem to be changing. Everything seems to be changing, and it's lovely. The football, you know, from what I've seen, we're not talking about tonight, but on Saturday, for instance, the way they were knocking the ball about, and there's a more positive way of play. And you're probably not going to talk about him, but Bentancur is one of my favourites. He's the closest I've seen to Moussa Dembele, and I think it's only going to get better. I love him. He is awesome.
Do you know, I completely agree with Vandal's comment here. Conte is a genius. I never thought I could love another Spurs manager as much as I did Pochettino. I feel exactly the same. Rich, let's come to you and talk about Antonio Conte, because he has transformed this football club, and I just feel that, you know, some games, although, you know, we haven't got into second gear, I feel that we are a team very hard to beat. And like he said last season, if you don't win games, then don't lose them. And we are a team very hard to beat now, aren't we?
Yeah, for sure. Really well drilled and set up. And yeah, those dark Thursday nights and under Nuno are a distant past. And we are a lot harder to beat. That kind of Spursy mentality is starting to dwindle, because people are starting to realise that we're going to be playing till the 96th minute, and we're going to be like the hardest to beat team at the end of games. Last season, Antonio was really disappointed with how some of the games we capitulated towards the end of the games, even though he'd really drilled the players, because he's had the pre-season with them and literally like whooped their arses. It's really showed about their fitness, but also the desire to keep winning that ball back, to be on the front foot. So Antonio not only is transforming the game on the pitch, he's also transforming the aspirations of the fans. When you go in the stadium, your expectation is that you're getting entertained as fans. And the disappointing thing is, the last couple of games, the play has not been that great for the entertainment, but we're still winning. And winning is part of sport. You've got to have a winner, a loser, or you have that stalemate. And Conte is one of these born winners. He lives, eats, sleeps winning. And to have him on as your manager is really important, that we kind of keep him, embrace him, and make him feel loved from the fans. And that's what we're doing. When we've got a manager that is one of our own, we make him feel that he's part of the furniture. And I think he really does feel that he's got a place now where he can embed his philosophy for years to come.
Craig, you want to add anything else on Antonio Conte?
I think the boys have said it really well, but the thing that strikes me about Conte the most is that mediocrity won't do. He just won't suffer it. And if you're a player that don't want to be there, then it's harsh, but he will just get rid of you. Look at Harry Winks, you know, a lad that's been at the club since he was 7 or 8, and, you know, he's not in his plans, so go and play football somewhere else. Got rid of Lo Celso, got rid of Ndombele. Right, we haven't quite got rid of them properly, but it seems harsh, but he sees it. He's got tunnel vision. He's got a job to do, and that job is to be successful and to win, and he will do whatever it takes to win, and he doesn't care to a point how he does it. He knows what you need to do and how you need to be a winner, and he's in trying to change the mentality and everything else within the club. Will take time, but I think he will get there if he's given the time and given the tools to do that job. You know, we have got a world-class manager at the moment, and to be honest, I don't know where we would go from here if he was to walk or be sacked, to be honest. And I would imagine the only way is down after this. That's the thing that everybody must bear in mind.
I'm just trying
to point out that I think
the trophy's got to be coming first, right?
The trophy's got to come, and then, yeah, whatever happens after that. But I think it's important to realise just how good he is and what we've got. You know, everything is set up to succeed at the moment. Everything's in place, the stadium, the training ground, the manager, the squad being built, the money in the club, everything. We've just got to get those trophies in the cabinet.
Well, 5 minutes from time, Antonio Conte made another couple of subs. Benson Kerr and Heung-min Son came off. Basuma and Matt Doherty come on. It's worth noting as well that Eric Dier and Heung-min Son both picked up yellow cards this evening. And as I mentioned, Sporting beat Frankfurt 3-0 earlier today. Craig, let's stay with you. I want all your opinions on this. Do you think that Spurs are good enough to win Group D, get past Sporting, Frankfurt, and, of course, the other game in Marseille? Of course, 6 games in the group stage. Do you think Spurs will top the group?
I think we get a much better picture after we've played the away game. Next, is it Frankfurt next, or is it Sporting?
Lisbon or Sporting next Tuesday.
Next season, yeah. So, you know, they're coming thick and fast. I think we'll have a better idea after that away game, because I personally think we've got enough to win that group. I think we've got enough to qualify. And winning the group is lovely, but it doesn't always guarantee you an easier path, does it? We've seen that before. So I think just qualifying for the next stage is the most important thing. Obviously, I want to win the group, but if we don't, we don't. I think just qualifying at this point, getting through to the last 16, playing after Christmas, is that's how I see it. If you're still in it after Christmas, you've got every chance. So, no, as I say, I'd love to be able to go to Marseille, really nothing on the line. I think that would be the ultimate, wouldn't it? So, if you pick up 9 points from the first 3 games, then you're nearly there or thereabouts, aren't you? So, yeah, let's see how we get on next week. But I'm pretty confident we're certainly going to qualify, and we've got everything we need to have in the tank to win the group as well.
Fenton, let's come to you. How far do you think Spurs could go in the Champions League?
Well, first of all, I think we've got a better squad than we did when we got to the final. We've got a more experienced winning manager. We could go pretty far. I'm confident we could go far once we're out of second gear. I don't want to be too confident. I am positive. I really, the thing again that's about Spurs this season is we've got a big squad. We've got a strong squad. And like Craig and Richard said, like at the beginning of the chat, any team that he puts out seems that, you know, there's positions that can be covered. So I don't see why we can't get to the final. You know, on any day, we can beat any team when we play as a unit. And I think that's what we're doing at the moment. We're gelling and playing together as a team. And that's what we've missed from the early Pochettino or mid-Pochettino era, is that togetherness. And that togetherness is now starting to come. So it's very exciting.
Rich, what about you? Do you think that Spurs will win the group? Should we win the group?
Yeah, I think the teams that we've got in the group are very similar. So on the day can be very competitive. Marseille can be very competitive. Frankfurt, Sporting, etc. But I think if we're talking about consistency, I think if we play consistently through the games, I think we'll win the group. And then that sets us up nicely for the next stage. How far we can actually go within the tournament, I think that all depends on how we develop as a team moving forward and how dynamic we become. Because as we know, when we're playing some of those away games, you have to be able to switch those formations at a drop of the hat to combat the shenanigans that some of the teams do when they play you. I don't know. I'd say probably it'd be great to get towards the latter stages of the tournament, but there's some fantastic teams that have spent an awful lot of money. You look at the Barcelonas, you look at Bayern Munich, you look at PSG, you look at teams like that. Amazing depth in their squads. And just to be kind of in the last four with those teams would be incredible.
I think Roy sums it up here, talking about Antonio Conte. Conte killed Spursy.
I love that. I agree with that. I agree with that.
I love that. I hate that term, Spursy. Hate it.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
Now, let's come on to the Manchester City game, which, of course, we play on Saturday. It's the late kickoff, 5:30 at the Etihad Stadium. Manchester City and Spurs are both, or the only two clubs in the Premier League, unbeaten so far. We have the same records. We've both played six. We've won four. We've drawn two. They have a goal difference of plus 14. We have a goal difference of plus 7. We're both on 14 points. Manchester City, so far, their results have been West Ham, they won 2-0 away. They beat Bournemouth at home 4-0. They drew against Newcastle 3-3 away. Beat Crystal Palace 4-2 at home. Knocked six past Nottingham Forest at the Etihad Stadium. And their most recent Premier League result, 1-1 away at Aston Villa. And, of course, on Tuesday evening, they beat Sevilla 4-0 in the Champions League. And a certain Erling Haaland is on absolute fire at the moment. In the Premier League, he's played six games. He's got one assist and 10 goals. Craig, let's kick this off with you. How do you see this Manchester City game going? And bearing in mind, in recent history, we have a very good record against them.
We do. And don't forget, Haaland ain't come up against Romero yet. So, you know, I think Christian will let him know. Let him know he's around fairly early in the game, you would hope. Fairly, of course, so he doesn't get an early yellow card. But look, all jokes, it's terrifying to watch Haaland play. I do love watching him play because he's just a phenomenal player. I just love to watch. I think he's almost the complete centre forward. He's scary. It's going to be very difficult to contain him. And if you contain Haaland, put two on him, they've got De Bruyne's, they've got, oh, God, a wealth of riches. But as you say, we've done well against them. We are kind of their bogey team. And for some reason, Sky or BT always seem to put us on at 5:30 on a Saturday against City. I think it was 5:30 on a Saturday last year as well. So perhaps that's a good omen. And you know, you obviously go to all the games, Chris. I don't know what the Etihad's like when you're inside. It doesn't come across on the telly as much of an intimidating place, to be honest with you. They're fans, even though they've had success over the recent years, they're probably very much like Tottenham fans when you look on Twitter at how they react to things. It's just that they've had, obviously, much more, well, yeah, it's a fair amount of more success than we were because we haven't had much at all. But they're kind of the same mentality as Tottenham fans from what I read. So they're going to be they're going to be nervous about this game. They're going to be nervous about Sonny scoring. They're going to be nervous about Kane, and they know exactly how we're going to play. You know, they're going to be. They do offer us a chance to hit them on the break, though, don't they? And get in behind, because they know we're going to be playing on the counter. And if we get that right, like we did last year, we can be devastating. But let's hope that this game Saturday, everything does click, because we can't afford to be off the pace Saturday. We will get found out by the likes of Haaland and De Bruyne Saturday if we're not at the races. And we've got to be at it from minute one. Because, you know, they're going to want it. They're going to want to turn us over after we did it to them last year. You know, so it's going to be a tough game. It is definitely going to be a tough game. But perhaps, I mean, I'm sure you'll come on to score predictions in a minute, so I won't give you mine yet till we come to that. But, yeah, it's a toughie for sure.
Craig, what have you made of Erling Haaland's start at Manchester City? Because I've got to admit, I thought, you know, he's done very well at previous clubs. I thought when he comes to the Premier League, it will probably take him a while to settle in. I didn't expect him to score 10 goals in his opening 6 Premier League games, did you?
No, I mean, I knew he was going to score goals, but I was the same as you. I thought, he's going to take him a little while to adapt to the different league, the physicality of it, even though the German league's probably nearest league to ours in that respect. But having watched a few of his games, the size of the lad, I think he's 6'4", isn't he? You know, he's not going to be scared of any defender that he comes up against, and how fast he is as well. His game is perfectly suited to the Premier League. So he was always going to score goals, but yeah, to score 10 already, it's just phenomenal. He's an unbelievable player. And you can kind of see now why they perhaps waited a year and didn't go for Kane, because they knew they wanted Haaland. Good for us, but you know, incredibly good for them. If he goes on at this rate, and I don't know how old he is, 22, is he? You know, we're talking about Kane beating Shearer's record. If he stays with Man City in the Premier League, he will annihilate Shearer's record if he carries on at this rate. So,
yeah,
fantastic player. Like I say, I love watching him play. I just hope he has an off game against us Saturday, obviously.
Fenton, let's come to you. Of course, last season, on the opening day of last season, we beat Manchester City at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, Nuno's first Premier League game, 1-0. And then, of course, we beat them at the Etihad Stadium, 3-2, where most Spurs fans and most general football fans expected us to get absolutely battered in that game, but we come away with the 3 points. What game are you expecting? What are you expecting from Saturday?
Well, I think it's you know, when all these teams come and play Spurs, they could be having an awful season, but then they play Spurs, they turn it on, and Spurs struggle. Well, we do the opposite to Man City. You know, we seem to think, oh, blah, blah, and then they turn it on against Man City. Haaland scored 10 goals, but, you know, Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest, come on. You know, look, I watched the Community Shield when he was off the pace against Liverpool, and you know, Villa contained him in a 1-1 draw. You know,
still scored though.
He did still score, but they didn't smash Villa, and I don't regard Villa as a team that is a top six. Which makes me think that, you know, I'm not saying he's not a good player, but, you know, I think it'd be a very, very good, interesting game. In the past, I would say, we get smashed. I actually think it'd be a draw.
We'll do score predictions shortly. Rich, how do you see this one going? Because, of course, you know, you're going away to the champions. It's going to be a very, very difficult game.
Yeah, and we're obviously going to set up completely different than we did tonight. I think it's going to be those midfield duels are going to be really important to win the ball, to defend resolutely. To make sure that we track those runners, and obviously Haaland scored most of his goals in that six-yard box and make sure we're not letting anybody kind of roam free in the box, especially from those kind of loopy crosses that Man City love. I think it's going to be a very tight game. I don't think we're going to get rolled over like some people think, that Man City is going to roll every team over. I don't think that's realistic. I'd like to think that we'd probably nick it. I think Man City have got some flaws within their team. They've obviously sold some of their kind of rotational players. The players that they come off the bench aren't as dynamic and aren't as their weapons aren't as good as ours, but I think their starting 11 is definitely better. It's going to be a competitive game, and like all of you have said previously, we always give Man City a good game. And it's not going to define our season, this one game at Man City. So if we can get some points from the game, it'd be awesome.
Rich, what would you expect in terms of Antonio Conte changing the team? Because from the team that played this evening, how many changes do you see Conte making?
I don't know. I think Perisic, he might drop out, and Sessegnon might come into that. I just think whether Perisic has got the speed to keep up with, obviously, the Man City wide players. Again, I think it would be a very kind of Man City Spurs game where they have plenty of possession. I think De Bruyne is the key player for us to kind of nullify his effect on the game. If we can nullify De Bruyne, if he has a bad game, I think we'll probably get a result or at least a draw. I think when De Bruyne plays well, Man City always win. And that is the big problem, because De Bruyne is that link between like Silva and Grealish if he plays, or Foden, and then obviously Haaland up front. So I think there's lots of kind of key battles, but for me, I think that midfield and how we nullify that, do somebody like Benzinka kind of try to man-mark De Bruyne, or does he go really tight on him when Man City have got the ball? I think Conte's going to be very conscientious about the kind of eyes that they put on De Bruyne, and hopefully keep Haaland out of the six-yard box.
Craig, do you expect many changes? Because, you know, we played this evening. We're playing at the Etihad against Manchester City on Saturday, and then, of course, back in Champions League action on Tuesday night away at Sporting. And then, of course, in the Premier League the following weekend. Games really are coming thick and fast right now. Surely Antonio Conte has got to rotate the team as much as possible.
Yeah, and I think that's perhaps why you saw the defenders getting a rest tonight. Personally, I think it will be Lloris in goal, Romero, Dier and Ben Davies. I think Sessegnon will come in on the left. I think he'll stick with Emerson on the right.
Yeah.
And I would love to say Bissouma, but I still think his preferred pairing at the moment is Højbjerg and Bentancur. And yeah, I think it will be Kane, Son and Kulusevski up front. So pretty much what we know and love. I don't think he's going to divert too much from that. And personally, I don't think you can man-mark De Bruyne. I think he's too good. So they're going to have to come up with another plan for De Bruyne, I think.
So you think Richarlison will drop out?
Yeah, I do. I do, purely because I think what Fenton was saying earlier, I do agree with that he can have a great impact from the bench. And I think Kulusevski did so well against them last year. And it is horses for courses, you know, these games. And
yeah,
Conte will have teams, four teams. And like you say, we've got the Champions League game next week. So, and you've got to look at the players that he rested tonight and give a bit of game time to Ben Davies just to keep his legs in the game, so to speak. So, yeah, I think there'll be changes. And I think that's the 11 he'll go with. That's my predict Conte 11.
Yeah, Daniel on screen agrees with you. Unfortunately, Rishi will be benched. Fenton, what do you think the starting 11 will be against Manchester City?
I totally agree with Craig, to be honest with you. I think that's been the consistent starting Premiership You know, Sessegnon, Davis at the back, and Kulusevski. So I think, yeah, Richarlison, Perisic on the bench, both can come off and do things, you know?
Yeah. Just before we do score predictions, I just want to ask you your thoughts on where, at the moment, you feel where Tottenham are and where we could finish in the Premier League. Rich?
No, I'm not going. You always ask me that first.
it's a standard question, all... Rich.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Well, Spurs clearly haven't got out of like second gear at the moment, have they? A lot of the games that we've played, it's flattered to deceive. And it's great to be winning the games. We've showed glimpses of obviously what Conte wants. But it's actually, I think it's great to kind of be moaning at wins. Normally we're kind of shouting at the TV or shouting at the pitch, saying, come on, we want some more kind of passion and desire. We're doing that now, but we're actually winning the games. I think we've got so much more to offer. And I think what it is, it's all about the philosophy kind of, the players actually getting to understand their true roles and getting out of some of the bad habits they had in previous seasons. I think the sky's the limit. I've said before that we'll better the position last year as fourth. It'd be great to be third in the league. Whether we'd be able to push any higher than that, I think we've still got, like Antonio Conte says, we still need two or three transfer windows to get the team that he wants.
Yeah.
And I think that's evident. You look at some of the defensive players, I think some of them need upskilling. We obviously went for better defensive players but couldn't really get the players we wanted. League-wise, I think Man City are just going to run away with it this year. They're just far better than any other team. I think Liverpool and Chelsea are having that hiccup. It's probably between us and the likes of the old enemy, Man United, Chelsea and Liverpool for that second and third, I think.
Yeah, interesting what you say about Liverpool. I don't think many people expected their result this evening in the Champions League. No. Rich, what's your score prediction for the Man City game?
I'd love a 1-0. Can I just say as well, like Mane, I think I said it last time I was on, I think Mane is a massive loss for Liverpool. Like,
yes.
Ballon d'Or nominee player.
Yeah.
Underrated at Liverpool. And how they let him go and not replace him with a like-by-like player, I don't understand why. I think Liverpool are always going to be missing something in their team. Team-wise, result-wise, I think Fenton's probably very close to it. It's going to be like a draw, or we're just going to nick a 1-0, I think. I think it's going to be very tight.
Well, we'll certainly take a 1-0. Craig, what about you?
Well, score prediction?
Score prediction, yeah.
I think it'll be 2-2. I think it's going to be a high-scoring draw.
My heart can't take that, I tell you.
No, but I think we got a good chance as any. I mean, we could nick the win, of course we could, but we could invariably, they could totally roll us over if they really turn it on. But I don't think that's going to happen, like you say.
No.
I think they're too wide open at the back. And for all their attacking wealth, you can get at them. But we've got to be on the game. So I'm going to say 2-2. And this goes Son and Kane to score. Sonny grabs his first. It's written in the stars, I think.
Fenton, what about you? What are you going for?
Yeah, I was going to go for Desmond as well.
Desmond 2-2.
Well, I'm going to go for a 3-2 Spurs win, and I think it's going to be I'm hoping it's going to be our first fantastic performance of the season, and Heung-min Son's first goal of the season as well. You know, why not? He's got it in him. He loves to play against Manchester City, and we've done extremely well against them in recent seasons. So, you know, we've got to go there with full confidence, which I'm sure Antonio Conte will instill to these players. Fenton, thanks so much for joining us this evening, and please tell everyone where they can find you on social media and what you're up to at the moment.
I'm still doing a load of private events, DJing all over the country. People can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fenton G, which is G-E-E, like my surname on the screen. And my Facebook is at Fenton G, G-E-E, DJ. And yeah, I'm supporting at the moment as well. I'm supporting the Tottenham ladies because I've befriended one of their Spurs players and she's now my friend. And yeah, so I'm now friends with Keris, who plays for Spurs, who's injured at the moment. But I just wanted to wish all the Spurs women a good luck on Saturday playing at the Lane against Man United.
That's right, yeah. And I'll take this opportunity to say that tickets are still available. So if you would like to go and see the Tottenham Hotspur women against Manchester United in the WSL, check out the Tottenham Hotspur website. Craig, thanks so much for joining us again this evening, and feel free to tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, no problem at all. If you really want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Diamond9, at Diamond9. Just go on the link Chris posts. He tagged me in it. Thank you to everybody that follows me. I'm not really that interested on Twitter, but I do put occasional bits and pieces, mainly about Tottenham on there. So if you want to follow me, go give me a follow and take my subscribers or whatever you call them, followers up to, I think I've got 155 at the moment. So it'd be lovely to get to 200.
Follow Craig.
So yeah, I'm the oracle. But in just answer to your question, Chris, where can Spurs finish? I actually think, and you could call me mad.
I only gave that to Richard because I know it annoys him.
I won't answer then.
Go on. Where do you reckon we'll finish?
People might think I'm mad, but I think we could finish second. I really do. I think it's up for grabs. I don't think Liverpool were the team they were, purely because the reason you said about Mane there, I totally agree. I've said that myself. I think he's a massive loss. I think they're all over the place. So just watching them defend, I saw their third goal they conceded tonight. It was like Trent Alexander-Arnold and Virgil van Dijk have never played together. They've had some dodgy results. I think Chelsea are in disarray. I think Arsenal will not continue the run they're on. I mean, they lost to Manchester United. I think Man U are going to come good at some point. But again, I think, you know, they'll lose some games. So, as I said at the top of the show, we're winning games and we're not playing well. So bear that in mind. Try and think that way around rather than the other way that somebody's going to give us a spanking. So it's there if we want it. Second, I don't think we've got anywhere near City. We're nowhere near them. But I think 2, 3 and 4 in the Premier League are up for grabs. And I think we're good enough to finish second.
I'll tell you what, I think every Spurs fan, before the season started, if you said at the end of the first week in September, Spurs will be unbeaten in all competitions, I think we'd have all been very, very happy. Rich, please tell everyone where they can find you, and thanks so much for coming on again.
Yeah, no, Marathon Champ, Twitter, Instagram, just my name. I'm doing the Great North Run on Sunday, so I'll be watching the Spurs game in Newcastle. So if you're around in Newcastle at the weekend, definitely come and join in the fun on the streets of sunny Newcastle, hopefully. But it's always a pleasure, Chris and Fenton and Craig to be on the show. And everybody that hasn't subscribed or liked, please, this is your opportunity now. Come on, get subscribing and support Chris, because obviously all the content is like first class, and we need to support the team as well as obviously Chris as well with the content.
Thank you, Richard. That's very nice of you. And best of luck for Sunday. Wish you all the very best. And thanks so much to everybody for watching this evening. And if you're listening to this on an audio, thanks so much for listening. Do subscribe to the channel and follow audio as well. And we will be back with another Spurs chat podcast straight after the Manchester City game on Saturday, where I've got another 3 fantastic guests to talk about the game against the champions. Hopefully Spurs can pick up another 3 points in the Premier League, and we will remain unbeaten in the Premier League and of course the Champions League, and you know the games are coming thick and fast, as I've said. But until then, until the next show, come on you Spurs.
Come on you Spurs.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Some people were made to follow the instructions. We were made to make our own. To always measure twice and never cut corners. Unless, of course, we've got a compound miter saw. Northern Tool and Equipment is a problem solver's paradise. There's nothing we can't find, fix, or figure out together. We're made for this. Start solving your projects today at northerntool.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.